Hi and welcome to Healthy Life Hacks. I'm Jennifer Jeffries, the present day wise woman, a realistic naturopath coming to you from the surfing beaches of Australia. This podcast is for those of you who are wanting to really rock your life and health and live from a place of prevention. Let's get into today's episode. I am super excited. Did you know that if you've been feeling like just, you know, not even depressed, but just not happy, your heart meridian could be out of whack? It could. And I'm super excited. I've got Dr. Maz here to talk all about heart meridian. Maz, what's going on with, we're finding so many people nowadays, they're not depressed, but they're sure as hell not happy. And we want to talk about in this podcast, what's the bottom line first?
Well, the heart is ruled by the fire element, and the fire is our spark of life. It's our engagement and passion for life. And it can be under or overexpressed. And I think because we're running around like mad in our society and trying to do too much and not doing enough that fills our cup, we can end up with a really dim little pilot light in our hearts. And then we don't feel excited about things. We feel apathetic because our body's actually calling for deep rest to restore that little fire. So it's just trying to bring balance back.
Okay. Well, in this podcast, we're going to dive straight in. So let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay, that's the place to start is what things bring us deep rest, or what are the other identifying things to show that our body's calling for that deep rest that we've not been listening to?
I mean, there can be really so many, but it can be like lack of excitement or engagement or apathy, lack of motivation or procrastination can be some of those things. Sometimes when we get overtired, it goes paradoxical and we can't sleep. We're so stressed out and so exhausted that we have disrupted sleep or really intense dreams that stop us from going deep. It could be also things because the fire element rules all the metabolic functions of the body. It could be a lowering of those or an imbalance there. So maybe poor digestion, slow digestion, slow poos.
What's a slow poo look like? I know we both like talking about poos, but someone's listening in. How do they know if they've got slow poos?
I guess slow poos, I mean, they might not want to come out for days, or you have the sensation of needing to go, but then you go to the toilet and it's like nothing's really happening and you have to really push and strain. So that can be
a slow poo.
So that can definitely also be like a chi stagnation, but sometimes there's just not enough chi, there's not enough fire to get all those processes moving. So we might see, sluggishness in that respect, or just general fatigue, low mood, jumpiness, like just low reserves. And that's our body saying, you need to go into your little cave and just restore a little bit and build up some energy again.
So does it mean that they should be getting, like focusing more on getting bigger blocks of time sleeping at night? Or is it quality of sleep or rest over quantity? Is it an NSDR, non-sleep deep rest, like the kind of thing we get with yoga nidras or, you know, a nanny nap? What kind of rest is going to be most useful for the heart meridian?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's all of those. And it's going to depend on the individual and their unique flavor of imbalance. But definitely, because I think a common thread for many of the things I see in clinic is this, you know, smash it out, like just go hard culture that we have that doesn't allow, it's very yang. I love yang, but
I'm so yang, it's my imbalance. I get it, but I've also learned to listen, and it amazes Alice that I can go so hard and so fast, and then I'm just going to stop right now. But I've had to learn to do that, where most people don't. They just go hard.
Yes,
deep.
Exactly. Yeah, well, same. I've been there so many times, like smashed against a wall, and now I've learned to be a bit more graceful and listen to signs.
Graceful.
So, yes, I see that there's so much of that, and people feel the pressure of having to go, when the paradox is that when we balance some of that go, go, go with deep rest, we actually become more productive because we're not burning our engines by just spinning our wheels all day long.
And like you said, procrastinating, that's one of the signs. So if people are dragging their bum, they can't, if they're not excited for life and they've lost that spark, they start procrastinating more.
Yeah.
And does that mean they end up digging a bigger hole for themselves?
It can do. Like, I guess if you can embrace the procrastination and just give yourself grace and space to drop into it without judgment, that can be great. Like then that's really yin and surrendered, isn't it? But if we're beating ourselves up,
judgmental yangs, turn your fuck
I don't
up.
know anyone like that,
I don't
Jennifer.
know. You are my mirror, Maz. We're looking bad at each other, which is great. It's great. We get to, we've both lived this path, which is why you know, I wanted to talk to you about it. It's a big one. It's a big
It is
one.
a big one. It is a big one. So coming back to your question, I think it's all those things. I think it's the rest in the day that can be amazing, that conscious rest, as opposed to we're dead tired and we just pass out at night and have unrestful sleep. So I think all of those, like calming down the heart, the shen, the spirit before sleep, grounding the energy, having nanny naps. Like my husband works from home as well. And the other day he's like, I'm having a nana nap at lunch. And he was amazed at how productive he was afterwards. He's like, it gave me so much time. Even though I took half an hour out of my day, it actually gave me hours back. And we can get caught up in that, like that wheel, can't we, where we're thinking, oh, we can't afford
We
to
have to
have,
strive all the time.
right, but actually we can't afford to not have a break. That's the truth.
No, there's you know, I do so much work as a speaker, and in the corporate world, you know, that people are present but they're not.
Yeah.
And so they're at their desk and they're just not productive, and that doesn't help either.
That's right.
Presenteeism is terrible. Yeah, you know, they
Yeah.
might as well just go home if they're that worn out.
Absolutely. And that's not feeding out. We're not then engaging with our awareness and our heart. So it's draining that as well if we're not present. So, yeah.
All right. So we know that deep rest is important. What other things can they do to replenish that or balance out that heart chakra? Or talk more, how, wherever you want to go with this, with heart chakra.
Yes. I mean, there's go. Well, I think, you know, the heart and its paired organ, small intestine, they come under the fire element. And the fire has to do, the related emotion is joy. So I think any activity or emotional state that can bring us into a state of joy is going to start to fill up that cup if it's been a little bit emptied. So whatever you love to do, whether it's, you know, reading a book or going surfing.
Surfing, gardening, all those things.
Gardening, watching a comedy, like having a laugh. I watch the cheesiest comedies these days without judgment. I used to be too cool for that stuff, but now I'm all about a good rom-com. I just want to laugh and feel good. And practicing gratitudes, you know, that's a really great one to get out of a funk, and actually feeling the gratitude feeling in your body that sends like beautiful ripples of lovely frequencies through your body that stimulate that energy and nourish it. Also thinking about who you love, if you can't be there to give them a hug in that moment, whether it's, you know, a person or a pet or a tree or the ocean or whatever it is, but just bringing that into your heart. So joy and love, cultivating those things, I think, like opening the chest space as well. Like we spend so much of our life, like over, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I sure have. I've done that. And I've done podcasts on it about how, you know, my lack of body confidence when I was younger, I literally took on round shoulders to hide my boobs. And I'm doing Pilates with my physio nowadays. I'm really mindfully trying to open up my shoulders to stop me hurting my shoulders so often when I surf.
Yes.
All my life I've had that open, I've had that closed, which has to affect heart chakra as well.
Absolutely, because it's like a sun that wants to radiate outwards. And that's why, you know, beautiful things like chest opening poses in yoga or qigong, or even just pulling your arms back and allowing your chest to open up to the sun to get some sun on your chest or on your face. I mean, the sun's the original fire as well. But definitely opening up, breathing into that chest, allowing space for that fire to be kindled and breathe is really lovely. The other thing too is when our fire gets a little bit depleted, it tends to float. So that's where we get things like anxiety and palpitations rushing upwards, or we can't settle our mind. We have this busy like whirlwind in our minds, or we have not deep sleep because the yang isn't like resting. It's not sinking deep. So then what we can do is we can do grounding practices like get our feet on the bare earth, or soak our feet in a hot magnesium like Epsom salt bath before bed. That's a really simple and potent thing for people who are having trouble relaxing. So just as hot as we can to draw that weak fire that's floating up here to draw it back down.
It's interesting. Oh, sorry. You said about, because I was thinking about when you said the connection between heart and intestines.
Yes.
We, as naturopaths, we say that digestive system is basically made from smooth muscle, the same as the heart. And if
Ah.
our poos get thrown when we do heart stress. And so magnesium is one of the go-to solutions for us. If heart or digestive system are out of balance, we'll generally prescribe magnesium. So interesting you say magnesium. We're same, but different. We just do
No,
things
we
differently.
just like have different words and theories,
Yeah,
to describe it, but
it's
it's the same
cool. I love it.
essential. Yeah. So yeah, we talk about the small intestine being the partner of heart, and the small intestine is like that little pilot light in the guts with all those lovely digestive enzymes. And like without that, we have poor, crappy digestion. We need that
Won't
fire in our
take anything up. Yeah.
That's right. So yes, and we also, because in Chinese medicine, we have so many different lenses to look at the same thing. We also pair heart and kidneys together, because kidneys are water, heart is fire. So it's that original yin and yang relationship that wants to be in in a flow and harmony with each other. So when the heart is like unbalanced or weak, we want to anchor it back down into the kidneys. So when we talk about that, we talk more about that HPA, like adrenal involvement. Yeah. So if hormones are out of whack, we'd also be looking at heart and
Heart
kidney.
as well. Yeah. And so, and we say if you wake up between 2 and 4 a.m., if you do broken sleep, it's literally your kidneys are waking you to take the stress off your heart.
That interesting.
I
I
know.
love it. So cool.
It is. It's
For us,
cool.
I ask if people wake around midnight, then that's a heart kidney thing for us, because that's when at midnight is when the yang of the new day is being born. So like the very tiny seed of yang. So if our yang hasn't submerged deeply, if we haven't gone to bed early enough, that's a big one actually, like by 9 o'clock ideally.
Yeah, that's what we
Haven't,
do.
that's what we do. We're such party animals.
Yeah, I know.
If we haven't submerged that yang sufficiently deep before midnight, when that first sprout of yang starts to rise, then up, we're up, or we're hot and sweaty, or we're tossing and turning. So
So
that can also be.
What's some things people can do for that if people are doing that, if they ask that, so that's settling themselves properly before they go to bed.
Yes, definitely. Making sure that they settle themselves, screens off, stimulation off, like read a book, or if you have to be on a screen, get like blue blocker
Blue light
glasses,
glasses, yeah.
or set your phone or your screen onto like a night setting, like most devices have that these days. Yes, and that magnesium foot bath before bed's really amazing. Sometimes journaling before bed, doing a brain dump, can help to just get all of those
Get out of
jobs
here.
for the next day out onto a piece of paper.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So if the because we run overs and unders, so if we're if it's the other way, if you need to pull up that energy,
As in, if it's too.
if it's too yin,
So, if the heart energy is too
right?
expressed.
Yeah, which way? Yeah, I don't know your language properly on this stuff.
Because
Anyway.
we've talked about if the heart is a bit depleted, how we can nourish it.
That's
So
it.
that's, yeah. And so the opposite of that is we can have this flaring fire, which can express as like mania or overjoy, we call it, like where there's this ungrounded, we're not really sitting in ourselves, we're not embodied in our experience, we're projecting this like manic energy of everything's great, or this is super exciting, or chasing that next bit of excitement to keep giving us that, like, whew, which is kind of an adrenaline addiction, right?
I've never seen that.
No, me either. I wouldn't know what that feels
What
like.
the
But that can look like, being addicted to drama, to stress, to crazy deadlines, over jamming your life with stuff. So you've always got that jolt of, stress hormones coming. So
hell?
either way, like, and this is the interesting thing that's so important, I think, to remember. In Chinese medicine, you can never have too much life. So you can never have too much fire. It's
Wow.
just Or that the fire's misplaced, it's floating or it's not settling deep in the body, not getting grounded. So we don't ever want to do things like ice baths or cold drinks to put out the fire. It's more about gently guiding that fire back to where we want it. So with the foot baths, with feet on the ground, with like Qigong, which, like drawing down the heavens where we lift our arms up to the sky and pull that energy down and anchor it into the earth. It's like there's two expressions that can express as, too much or too little, but the root is the same, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I like that you addressed ice baths, because there's, and I know we're on the same page as this, and I've talked about it in previous podcasts, but yeah, give us your bottom line on that, because people go, it's great, you get this adrenaline, you get this hormone hit, and it's like, yeah, take on the world. I'm thinking, you are fucking up your body long term.
Yes, I have a lot to say about this. And if people want the full experience, I have a five-part series on my Instagram where I just pick it all apart. But basically, I don't think they're a great idea. I don't think they're based, they have no historical backing. Like proponents of ice baths are like, the Egyptians did it, the Greeks did it. But actually, when I went back and looked at the original texts, so in Egyptian medicine, which is claimed to be the first use of cold therapy, what they actually talk about is a cream made of cold-inducing herbs for like a boil or skin infection, not sitting in an ice bath. It's just like cold herbs to calm an infection. And same with Greeks. They say the Greeks did it, but actually the Greeks reserved their use of ice submersion for when someone was basically dying from a fever or if they were bleeding out and they needed to just stop the blood flow. But basically the Greeks identified that that being cold was actually a terrible thing and would cause things like fevers and all sorts of other health issues and would shorten your life. So yeah, it's interesting that and the Roman
Bad at the moment, and I'm like, no,
such
moment,
a fad.
no, stop it. They're not looking.
I know. And it's like you said, I have the same opinion. I think because we're already as a culture so driven to like addicted to stress and adrenaline, it gives us that, like it squeezes the life out of us, literally out of our kidneys. We feel temporarily amazing because we're flying high on stress hormones, but it's depleting our deep reserves that we need to age well, to heal and repair for the long term. And I think, unfortunately, in 10 or 20 years' time, we're going to see a lot of health complications as a result of this mania.
Yep, I agree. So for people who want to check out those five, those who need like all the information and want a deep dive on those five episodes you've done on your Instagram, what's your Instagram page again?
Balanced with Dr. Maz, separated by
Balance.
the
Yes.
scores. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So check out, if you're not already following Maz, you need to follow her, because so much really cool information. Awesome.
Oh, thanks, Jen. And I would say the simplest guide to whether we should be ice bathing or not is that it doesn't feel good. Like our bodies are so wise, and if we listen to them, they will tell us what they need. Sometimes they have to scream at us, but yeah, ice bathing doesn't feel good, right? But sitting in a hot springs or sitting in the sun,
Oh,
like you feel
everything
your body.
passes.
Yeah, or just like
Sauna.
infrared sauna. Oh, so good, right? But like we sit in a cold ice thing and we start shaking and we get pain, like immediately pain. That's such a clear sign that this is not for our benefit.
The naturopathically we say to finish your shower with cold to help your circulation. But that's it. It's not like, yeah, dive into an ice bath. I see reels and things of people bragging, hey, I'm doing 10 minutes at 3 degrees. And I think, I really feel for your body. Taking the life out of it.
Absolutely. And where do we ever see in nature other hot-blooded animals doing that? Like we see the snow monkeys just
They're
like basking in the hot springs, right?
in the hot springs around
In
the
the hot
swamp.
springs. And you don't see an animal choosing to sit static, which is yin, it's not yang, in a super yin environment. Like that goes against, it's like yin on yin. There's no balance in that. There's no life in that.
No. All right. So closing out heart meridian, we need to be joyful. We need to be grounded. We need adequate rest to listen to our bodies. If we're getting that little bit of mania, I can do this. You're a little bit out of balance, and just bring that back. What else do we need to know?
Chai tea is lovely, or chai spices. Cinnamon is our number one herb that we use for the heart because it's very yang, it's like pungent and outward moving. So if we're feeling a little bit closed in or flat. Cinnamon gives us that lovely opening. So warming spices, hugging someone you love or thinking about that. Yeah. I mean, hugs are like heart to heart, right? You can
Yeah.
hold your own heart as well. I think that's really lovely
Absolutely.
too, like meditate or lie down and just self-soothe and self-connect that way.
Yep. Nice. Very cool.
Yay.
Well, the heart's big, and it's been one of my areas to really mindfully focus on as I've gotten older, because I realized that I shut it down at different times. I've been hurt, emotionally hurt through the years, whether it's been relationships ended or loss of someone or loss of a pet or lot, whatever. It's so easy to put walls up, and it doesn't serve us. We need to be in balance, so.
It really doesn't. And I think having that, like someone else describes it as like strong spine and an open heart, like just being able to have the open heart to allow emotions to flow through us means that we're not getting energy stuck. Because as we've talked in other podcasts, stuck or unexpressed emotions are the number one cause for pretty much all the symptoms I see, except for like traumatic accidents. So if we can keep that heart open, it just serves us in every aspect of our health.
There you go. So if we want more wellness, keep our hearts open. Best
Yay.
way to follow you, Maz, is Instagram, obviously, but you also have a podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
It's called Balanced Natural Health with Dr. Maz. So that's in all the usual
Podcast
places.
platforms, yeah. And you have a free ebook that they can
I have.
download.
Yes, I do. So if they go to my website, which is balancedacupuncture.com.au, or to my Insta, there's like the website links up there, and there's a little ebook download on the homepage. And yes, it's an ebook about nurturing and nourishing life by the Chinese
Nice.
medicine way.
So,
Yeah.
for oldies like me who prefer Facebook, are you on Facebook as well? I have to
Facebook.
say that because I'm my demographic. I'm older than you, Maz. I know we surf together, but I'm older than you.
Yes,
Which is amazing.
I have Facebook. Everything just gets sent from Insta to Facey, so I'm
Okay.
not there much, but it's the same content, and it's I just changed the name so it's in line with my Instagram, so it should be Balanced with Dr. Maz as well on
And
Facey.
they
Yeah.
so if you are a Facebooky person, go there and get your free download, your free ebook from Maz's site. Very
Yeah.
cool. Thanks,
Wonderful.
Maz. So I'm looking forward to our next episode. We're actually going to talk all about lungs, which as naturopaths, we say lungs hold grief and guilt. So this is a really fun one to dive into. But thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Jen. It's always lovely to chat with you.
Okay. See you guys. I want to thank you for being here today. If you enjoyed my podcast, please let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcast. Every month, I draw one lucky person who leaves a review, have a free 1 hour consultation with me. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're tuning in from so that you always catch the next episode. I welcome your emails, and you can write to me at podcast@healthylifehacks.com.au. Until next time, remember, when it comes to life, live it, love it, and get on with it.